Carolyn meets qualified hypnotherapist Karen Lee to find out about how hypnotherapy works.
Karen, thank you very much for taking the time today to talk to us about your role as a hypnotherapist.
You're welcome, nice to meet you.
How did you come to train in hypnotherapy?
Well, it's a slightly strange story that I'd worked in our family restaurant for more than 20 years. And my own son, when he was about 8, started having issues with anger, which I now understand was caused by anxiety, but really had little knowledge of then. I had two daughters before and not kind of experienced this emotion. So as any parent would do, as he became more and more controlling and our family became consumed by it, really, I started to research ways, what was going on in his brain, how I could find out what was taking over his body. And ultimately, having had hypnotherapy previously myself, and that was one of the avenues that I explored, and ended up giving up working in the family restaurant and just decided to enroll in a hypnotherapy course, really just for the sake of our family, to find out what was happening.
To help your son.
Really. And hadn't expected to practice, and it was only halfway through my training that my tutor spoke to me and said, you know, what were my plans for the future, and suggested to me that actually there's many other families out there who are experiencing similar problems and equally have nowhere to turn, because I certainly found that the case, that with young people, the help just really isn't very accessible. And just having somebody else to talk to about it is a huge help. So that made me start thinking perhaps I should use what I'd learn and help other people. So really that's where my business started from.
Could you tell us a little bit about what hypnotherapy actually is?
Certainly. Well, I think most people have a preconceived idea of how hypnotherapy, or how hypnosis shows itself. The first thing is that hypnosis and hypnotherapy are very different. The stage hypnosis that we've all seen is quite different to how it works in a practice, where we merely use hypnosis, a deeper form of relaxation, deeper than we're used to experiencing, to access parts of our brain that we don't use regularly. And obviously that goes alongside the therapy part of it, which is really counselling, helping that person to work out what's happening, what their triggers are, how they can better use their emotions and move forwards, usually to treat something that, you know, is having a big impact on their life. So really all we're doing when we are under hypnosis is we're slowing down our brain waves. So when we're talking like this, our brain waves are beta waves, which are quite fast. The slowest brain waves are delta waves when we sleep. And in between those two, we have alpha and theta waves, where our brain slowly slows down and becomes more relaxed and more open to suggestion. So we will have those brain waves occurring regularly when we do things like listen to music, or perhaps watch a film, or if we're driving somewhere, a route that we've driven many times before, something that we've done many times before. We just become very relaxed and we're not actively deciding how to do it. And really that's just the same for hypnosis. That's when our brain becomes much more open to suggestion.
And how would you actually promote this real active state of relaxation?
So the simplest way is to do something called a progressive muscle relaxation, or PMR, which means that we just talk ourselves through relaxing each part of our body. It's something that we don't really do. We really tune into our bodies and how they feel. So actually just stopping and just having that moment to just consciously think about what our body is experiencing and how it's feeling, it is a really slightly strange thing to do to start off with, but very pleasant. After that, then we would do some deepeners, some counting down, and then just take that person to a place that they find very relaxing, very calming. Usually it will be the choice of the clients as to where they go. Sometimes they can be led. It might be somewhere that they've been before. And then after they've reached that place of complete relaxation, then that's when we can then start planting suggestions and do some active work of changing their thinking. We don't access certain parts of our brain. People don't realise that actually the conscious part of our brain is a very small part. I don't know if you might know what parts.
No, I'm not.
So actually it's less than 10%. So between 90 and 93% of our brain is our subconscious mind. So this is why we can't understand why we do a lot of things, because it's sort of stored back there in the recesses of our brain. So all of those things that we do every day without thinking about, obviously very important things like breathing, you know, all happens subconsciously. But also back there are stored all of our beliefs, all of the things that perhaps people have said about us, perhaps labels that we've been given when we were younger, just habits that we've created for ourselves, routines, and we don't need those every day. So those are stored in our subconscious mind. And actually, most of the time, we're not using them. But what hypnosis enables us to do is that in between our conscious mind and our subconscious mind is something called the conscious critical faculty, which is like a theoretical switch which passes backwards and forwards between them. And when we're in that very deep state of relaxation, that's when the conscious critical faculty can be accessed, and that switch can change where we can access that part of the brain and suggest things, explore a little more deeply. But obviously, as the therapist, I don't have control over that. The patient has complete knowledge of what's happening, and they have control of their subconscious. So it's important to understand that I could never make somebody do something that they didn't actually want to do. And I think most of us will know somebody who's been for hypnotherapy for stop smoking and said, oh, well, it just doesn't work. And actually the reason it doesn't work is because that person deep down really didn't want to give up. It wasn't the right time for them. And I'll always ask, you know, a client in that case, what is, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you want to give up? And it's surprising how many people will be willing to give me their money, but will actually say, oh, about a 7. And it's like, well, you know, you're not quite ready. You need to be a 9 at least before you're actually ready. So, you know, that's important, I think, for people that are coming for other reasons as well. And unfortunately, a lot of people that do come and see me will come to me as a sort of last attempt, really, because they will have tried other things. And just say, you know, I don't understand why anything's working. And what we can do is unpick that and work out, you know, why it isn't working and actually how to make it work.